Okay, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Now, in youth, we tend to like that first part. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And we're like, yeah, old people, we can do stuff too. That's how we take that. For real, we do. Like, that's how it's preached a lot and it's interpreted that way very often. That, yeah, we can do stuff too, you know. But we tend to ignore that second part. Have you guys ever been told to act your age? Anybody ever tell you that? Yes. All the time. I think guys get this even more than girls because we tend to be dumber in a lot of ways. And it's true. I can admit that. Audrey, I think you were there the day that that time when I burped in the middle of worship practice and Paula got like really upset at me. Were you there that week? Yeah. Paula looked at me, who's on the worship team, and she was like, "I can't believe you just did that. You should be old. You should know better than that." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm a guy. I don't think about burping, but it just kind of comes naturally." So this is what it's telling us. Hey, don't let people look down on you just because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. And so tonight we're going to take a little bit of a look here at the second half of this because it's the part that gets forgotten a lot. So there's five things that are listed here. Five things that are listed as far as how we should set an example. In speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So we're going to start with speech. In speech, we have to set an example. Like, what this saying is, we have to set an example for the church. As young people, it is our job to set an example for the whole church. See, we think too often that it's their job to set an example for us, but Scripture actually says it's both. Like, yes, they should be setting a godly example for us, but we also need to be setting a godly example for those around us and for those in the church. Okay, in speech, how can we set an example in speech? First off, do not mouth off and talk back to people. And I know this is difficult for young people, and me too a lot of times. Like, you know, you come up with something, somebody says something, and you just have a comeback. It's ready, you know, and you want to say it, right? You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I used to teach before this, and I told my students all the time, yes, it's true that that teachers have favorites, but the students get to pick the favorites because the ones that mouth off and talk back are not going to be the favorites. That's the way that works. Okay? You know, it cracks me up. People, "Oh, all my teachers hate me." And I'm like, well, yeah, it's because you probably talk back to them all the time. And that might be you guys. I don't know. The way you're looking at it, it might be. But, you know, that's the truth. Really quick, I want to show a quick video that goes along with this.
Controversy these days about whether or not kids should or shouldn't be spanked. Well, that controversy is about 20 years too late. Because my dad never heard it. And most of my spankings I got when I was growing up was because, and I know this is going to be hard for y'all to believe, but it was because of my mouth. I know, I can hear the shock in your voices. My problem was sassing my mother. We'd start off on a disagreement. It would go on to an argument. And then it would end up where I was sassing her. And at this point in the discussion, Mama would always tell me what she wanted out of life. Every time, didn't matter, every day, probably 2 or 3 times a day, she'd tell me at this point in our argument what she wanted out of life. You know, Mama didn't care about new houses. Daddy took care of that. We had a nice house. She didn't care about new cars, new clothes. All my mother wanted out of life was the last word. She'd say, "Mark, you had better let me have the last word." And I tried to give her the last word, but something brilliant would always pop in my mind and be out my mouth before I could stop it.
All right, so judging from the laughter, I'm assuming you guys know where he's coming from. You've been there. Like you know, like you're like, yeah, okay, we'll end the argument, but I've got one more thing. You always got to get that one last thing in, right? Yeah, see, that's not biblical. That's not setting a good example in speech. And you know, the tongue is very important, and I'll get to that in just a second. Here's another way we can set an example in speech, and that is that sometimes we need to not talk. There are times when we have to just be quiet because that's the best thing to do. Mark Twain has a very famous saying, and I remember being taught it by a guy named Tim Rogers. I was in probably eighth grade, I think, when Tim Rogers told me this. And y'all know me, I'm loud and I like to talk a lot. And at the time, I had less of a filter. And so Tim Rogers, I can picture the room in our church we were at. He said, he pulled me aside. He said, "It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you were a fool than to open it and remove all doubt." Okay, and that's Mark Twain. And does everybody kind of understand what that's saying? Like, it's better to be quiet and have people think you're stupid than to talk and prove it. Okay, that's kind of the modern day, you know. And so there are times we just got to be quiet. The Bible also tells us we need to use the tongue to build each other's up and not to tear each other down, which frankly is a problem in our youth group. Okay, we tend to be, and usually it starts off as just kind of teasing and fun. You know, we just, whatever, we're goofing on each other, and I do that too. But then it becomes like people get offended, and then all of a sudden there's feelings hurt. Okay, the Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The first half of that is really big to me. The tongue has the power of life and death. So with our speech, we have the opportunity to either give life or to give death to those around us. Okay, so we have to set an example in speech. In life, we have to set an example in life. And this is pretty straightforward. It's let your actions do the talking for you. You know, be an example to those in your actions and the way you act. You know, I used to tell my students all the time, the only difference between mature and immature is knowing when to be which. You know, I mean, and today Wes and I were talking about this. We're talking about immaturity and kind of what defines immaturity. And it's not whether or not you act stupid, because I know a lot of mature people who act stupid at the appropriate time. You know, I mean, y'all saw, you know, at the lock-in or whatever, or, you know, we're out playing sports and stuff. I'm just as ignorant as anybody at times, but it's a choice, and it's always within reason, and I've always got control of it. It's when people don't have control of their childish actions that they become immature. And so there's a time for that. There's a time to have fun and goof off, but there's also times to not, and knowing when and when not to be goofy is a good way to set an example. And just showing respect for others, you know. And I used to tell my classes all the time that, you know, you learned in like kindergarten, don't touch other people's bodies and don't touch other people's stuff. That's like the first thing you learn when you go to pre-K is don't touch other people's stuff. And yet people who are in high school still have trouble with that concept, you know, and they always are taking somebody's backpack. Or, you know, I had students who like to nugget a backpack. Y'all ever seen that? You know what it means to nugget a backpack? Where you take everything out, and then you turn it inside out, and then you put everything back in, and you zip it up, and it's a huge pain in the rear to get undone. Yeah, my students, my guitar classes used to do that every day. Every time we had 2 spare minutes, somebody was getting nuggeted. It was ridiculous. And that's not showing respect for one another. It's just not. The third thing, we got in speech, we've got in life, and we've got in love. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Y'all didn't get that joke, but that's okay. What is love? Somebody quick, give me a quick definition of love. Yes, ma'am. Caring about somebody. Okay. Anybody else? You thought of your mom? Okay. So love, you know, and 1 Corinthians 13 has a whole big thing on love. Love is patient, love is kind, and love is selfless, and all the other things, which is cool. But the big thing about love is that it looks out for others' interests, sometimes at its own expense. You know, love is the opposite of selfish. It shows respect to others. What is the most famous verse in the Bible? John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible. What is John? Okay, not the point. Stay with me here. Okay, somebody tell me, what is John 3:16? Okay, quote it. Very good. Awesome. Okay. Good job. So that is the most well-known verse in the Bible, according to most standards. And that, we don't think about that verse as being a definition of love, but it is. Because it says God, who of course is God, he loved the world so much that he did what? What did God do? He gave. That's the important thing. That's the word I'm looking for here. So if God's ultimate expression of love was to give something, that tells me that love is by its very nature giving. Okay, and that doesn't necessarily mean money. It can mean time. It can mean energy. But when you love somebody, you give them your attention. You give them your respect. You give them time. You know, for guys, when we love a girl, that means sometimes we're going to go antiquing and watching chick flicks. And girls, that means sometimes girls will come to the ball game with us, even if they don't like sports, you know, because we're giving of ourselves. So to set an example in love means we need to be giving. We need to not be selfish. We need to be the opposite of selfish in everything we do and set that example. All right, fourth thing. We got speech, life, love, and faith. Okay, be an example in faith. This is talking about our walk. Okay, our walk with Jesus. People ought to know that we have faith. And I talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, I think. If people can't tell a difference between you and your friends who are not saved, then you're not setting an example in your faith. There should be a difference in you. If you love Jesus and you belong to Jesus, there should be a difference between you and your friends who aren't part of the body of Christ. You know, and we as Christians, our goal is to attract people to Jesus. And if they can't tell a difference, then we can't do that. Okay, lastly, the fifth thing, impurity. Set an example in purity. What does that mean? What do you think of when you think of purity? Baptized? Okay, I suppose. Clean? Okay, what are some ways we can show purity? Like some common sense, everyday things that you can show purity in? The music that you listen to? Okay, that's good. The way you talk? Very good. I'm surprised nobody has said sex yet, but maybe y'all are just afraid to say that word in church. I don't know. Probably, but that's okay. See, and when I think of purity, that's what comes to my mind, because all the time, you know, growing up, and I, you know, had purity ring and all that kind of stuff. But it's not just that. It's about your speech. It's about the example that you're setting with the music you listen to. It's about, you know, it's about everything that we do. It's not just the big ones, drugs and alcohol and sex, which is what people tend to think of. And it's about sincerity. It's about living a real life and not hiding behind, not pretending to be something that we're not. You know, purity is not about faking things. It's about being real with those around us. So those are the five ways we need to be set an example. And again, this is 1 Timothy 4:12. I encourage you to memorize this because it's a really big verse. A lot of people talk about it a lot, especially with youth. So the challenge for tonight, for the end of the service here, is if you want to see change among your friends or in our church, if there's things you want to see changed in our church or in your community or in your family, we are charged biblically to set the example, not just to let the adults do it, not just to assume the adults are going to do it, but we as the youth and as the young people are called to set an example. Timothy was a young pastor. I think Timothy was probably around my age. Timothy in the Bible, Paul is writing this to Timothy, and it's being written from an older pastor to a young pastor. That's what's happening here. He's giving advice, and he says, just because you're young, don't let people look down on you, but set the example for everybody around you, no matter what age you are. Set the example. So that's the challenge to you guys tonight, is set the example for those around you.